Comedian Kevin Nealon's on with us. He's going to be at the Funny Bone, and he's also promoting Hiking with Kevin on the YouTube, his YouTube channel. So let me start off with your show, because you had Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm, and you asked her how she got her job on Curb. How did you get your job on SNL?
It's funny. A lot of people ask me that. They want to know that, although they phrase it more like this. How did you get on SNL? You know, in a nutshell, I was recommended by Dana Carvey because they were looking for one more cast member. So I flew in and I auditioned in Studio 8H at 30 Rock. And I got, you know, from that, I got offered a job as a feature player, which meant they guaranteed 7 episodes I would be on out of 22. And also as a writer on the show. So I did that the first season. And the second season, they made me a cast member.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Because my kids, and yeah. I don't want to embarrass you, but my kids are 11, 10, and 5, and I do they've seen the Hans and Franz, and I always joke, and I'm going to pump you up, and my kids will do it to me. When you watch that stuff, do you look at fondly or like, eh?
It looks a little dated at this point.
But my kids are young, and they're doing it, Kevin.
Well, the thing about Hans and Franz is they were dated the first time we did them.
Yeah, that's true.
And they were from an older generation.
That's true. You know?
But those characters, I love them. I'll never get tired of those characters. In fact, Dana Carvey and I, we still kind of regale in how pathetic they are. You know, they're just so defensive, and they berate everybody because they're such losers themselves.
Oh, that's great.
Well, let's talk.
I'll never get tired of them.
Let's talk about Hiking with Kevin. Now, we're all a big fan of comedians in cars drinking coffee. How did you come up with this idea? And has Seinfeld seen yours and kind of busted your balls a little bit?
Well, first of all, the only similarity is we're not in a studio. We're outside of a studio.
Right. And you're...
Certainly not the first time that's been done.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I don't think he would have anything to say about it. But it kind of, the genesis of that show was, first of all, I love to hike. You know, there's a lot of canyons in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my meditation. And I called a friend of mine, this actor, Matthew Modine, great actor, you know, good friend. And we went for a hike. And as we were hiking, I thought of a funny sketch idea or a funny bit, you know, to do. And I would be interviewing him. But I would be so out of breath, he couldn't understand my questions, and I couldn't understand his answers because we were both so out of breath. So I did that. And then on the way down, I was asking him what were some of the movies he turned down that he regretted. And he gave me this whole laundry list of like shows like Back to the Future, the Michael J. Fox role, or Top Gun, the Tom Cruise role, or Wall Street, or you know, Big, the Tom Hanks role. And I said, "You're an idiot." You know, we recorded it all, and I thought this would be a fun show to do every week with a different, you know, because I've been doing this so long now. I have a lot of friends in the business, and so I just started doing it every week, and it's kind of just, I love doing it. It's a hobby of mine. It's not like, you know, I'm getting paid to do it on Netflix or anything. You know, it's just a real passion of mine.
You know, it's funny, because right on the sheet here, I was going to ask you, because we had Henry Winkler on last week, and we were talking, you know, he turned down Grease. I was going to ask you, because you're multi-talented, you did Weeds, and you don't necessarily do Conspiracy Zone, so you don't necessarily do comedy. I was going to ask you if there was a role you turned down and regret.
Well, A, I've never turned down anything. I've taken roles that I regret. But I do regret losing out on certain roles. Like when I first moved to Los Angeles, I was 24, 25, something like that. And I got 5 callbacks for this TV show. And the producers, on the last time I went in, they looked at each other and go, "We're not getting any closer than this." And Jimmy Burrows was the director on it. And it was just, you know, and I was excited. I thought, oh, great, I got a job.
Yeah.
I got thrown off studios. And I don't hear back for a week. And then 2 weeks, I don't hear anything. And then I find out they're looking at older people for the role, you know, an older person, because I was too young, I guess. And it was for Sam Malone and Cheers, the bartender.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, you would have been too young.
Kevin, I really like you, but Ted Danson's a lot better looking than you are.
He's a lot better looking and probably a better actor, too. Very green at the time.
Well, Kevin Nealon,
I'm a better bartender, I'll tell you that.
It seems to have worked out for the guy.
Yeah.
I remember in the 80s when I was doing stand-up and I was working on the road, you came out of the womb a headliner, I think. You were headlining pretty quickly after you started, were you not?
Well, let's see. I look back. It took me like 6 years from the day I started stand-up to get on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Which is pretty quick.
Yeah, and I think after I did The Tonight Show with Carson, I started headlining a lot more. But yeah, it was because I just loved it. It's all I did. You know,
yeah.
It's like a golfer. If you're going to be a good golfer, you got to kind of walk around with that club in your hand all the time. And, you know, and I just walk around just thinking material and trying to get on stage as much as possible.
You know, I think there's a lot to be said for everyone always liked Kevin Nealon. You're easy to work with. You were always a nice guy. There was never any, you know, like a lot of the headliners back in that day, whether it was drugs or you had to, are they going to show up? You were the consummate professional because you were always headlining every time I would follow you into a club or whatever. Kevin Nealon was just here. Kevin Nealon was just here.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I remember when I wasn't headlining and I was like the opener, the middle act, the feature, which is really a cool spot to be in because you didn't have to carry the whole show. And
right.
People didn't know who you were. They didn't have high expectations, you know? And I remember I would go out, when I first started headlining, I would go outside of the club in the back of the line and I would get in line with everybody. And I would, first I wasn't recognized, and then I would ask the person in front of me, I said, hey, who's performing tonight? And they, 9 times out of 10, they go, all right, we don't know, we're just here to see comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny, and Derek, because I always say morning radio guys and stand-up comics always are a little warped, or there's something that, I don't want to say weird, because that's not the type of term, but I always look at, you know, the train wreck comedians and stuff, and the morning guys, and for you, Kevin, I look at you, and I go, boy, there's nothing, like, warped or wrong with him. What's going on? He's doing comedy, and there's nothing warped?
Well, that's my challenge right there. That's my obstacle. You know, I'm not a minority. I don't have a lot of, like, insecurities, so I have to overcome this obstacle that I have.
Your goodness.
It's hard to get material.
I know it. I got to really be creative.
And we should say you can see Kevin at the Funny Bone. 2 shows Friday, 2 shows on Saturday, 471 joke. He puts on such a great show, so come out and see him. I'm going to ask you,
if you're in town early, you should come on our show live. You should come by the studio Friday morning.
Friday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I probably will.
When you hike by yourself, do you listen to music?
Yeah, sometimes I do, or I'll listen to a podcast, or I'll listen to, like yesterday I went for a hike, and I was listening to Minnesotan accents, because I'm doing a film today, a small role in a film where I have to play a Minnesotan.
Dude, I'm from Minnesota. I can help you when you come in studio.
Oh, how do you make it not sound Irish or Scandinavian?
Boy, we'll just have to work. There's certain things that Minnesotans say, too.
It's like northern Michigan, Wisconsin. It's a little more Scandinavian like over there in Minnesota.
They say pop, not soda.
Yeah.
A lot of people say warsh instead of wash.
Woof.
Warsh. Woof, like I do. We got our own language, Kevin. We'll hang out. I'll teach you. We'll go through it.
How would you say a line like this that has no words like soul or, you know, you have to? Here's the line. What is it?
What is it? Don't you know? A lot of don't you know. Oofta.
Yeah, but how would you say what is it as a Minnesota?
What is
Minnesotan?
It? Yeah, what is it?
Yeah.
Don't you know? What is it? Yeah, they just say what is it.
He'll bring you a hot dish there, Kevin.
Yeah, I'll bring you a hot dish.
You'll play the euchre. We're going to play the euchre there. Go to the Myers.
Yeah, it's kind of their own language, though. It is. And the thing is, I haven't lived there in over 25 years, and I still have the accent.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a musical. It's kind of like a sing-songy kind of a thing, too, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you know?
Yeah, don't you
and
know?
It's not Fargo, but it's not Fargo, is it? It's not.
No, people get offended.
It's a little more Midwest than that.
Yeah, people get offended over Fargo.
Chicago.
What's
it's
that?
It's like between Chicago and Fargo.
Yes, exactly.
Is
Minneapolis.
Right.
Well, Kevin, hopefully you're in here Friday. And we'll do the same interview.
Good warm-up.
Yeah.
Good warm-up.
Hey, thank you for your time, Kevin.
Thanks,
and we'll
Kevin.
See you this weekend at the Funny Bone.
Thanks, you guys.
All right,
take care.
So long.